News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. In his first comments after the Delhi Assembly election results were declared on February 11, Union Home Minister Amit Shah said BJP leaders should not have made statements like "goli maro" or "shoot them" and "Indo-Pakistan match" in the run-up to the polls. Shah said the party may have suffered because of the statements made by its leaders. Such statements should not have been made. Our party has distanced itself from such remarks, he said at an event. Shah said the BJP, however, does not fight elections just for victory or defeat, but believes in expanding its ideology through polls. The BJP won 8 of the 70 seats in the assembly elections, with the ruling Aam Aadmi Party sweeping 62 seats. Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal will be sworn in as the Chief Minister again for the third time on February 16. When asked about a few BJP leaders raising slogans like "goli maro" and talking about an Indo-Pak match during the Delhi campaign, Shah admitted that the party may have suffered in the polls because of those statements. "It is possible that our performance may have suffered because of this," he said. At an election rally in Delhi's Rithala on February 8, Minister of State for Finance Anurag Thakur was caught on camera making inflammatory comments. Seen clapping his hands over his head, Thakur chanted "Desh ke gaddaron ko," or traitors of the country, with the crowd responding with "goli maro," or "shoot them all." BJP candidate Kapil Mishra, meanwhile, had likened the election in the city to an India versus Pakistan contest. He made the controversial comment in a tweet. The Delhi police later lodged an FIR against him on the direction of poll authorities. Shah said his assessment on the Delhi elections went wrong, but asserted that the result was not a mandate on the Citizenship Amendment Act or the National Register of Citizens. He said anyone who wants to discuss issues related to the CAA with him can seek time from his office. "We will give time within 3 days," he added. Strongly defending the CAA, which provides for Indian citizenship to persecuted non-Muslims from Pakistan, Bangladesh and Afghanistan, Shah said there is no such provision in the new law that will take away the citizenship of Muslims. "We have never discriminated against anyone on the ground of religion. There is no provision in the CAA which says that citizenship of Muslims will be revoked. Don't just criticize CAA, but discuss it on the basis of merits. It is neither anti-Muslim nor anti-minority," he said. "I am ready to meet anyone, but discussions need to happen on merit. Unfortunately, nobody wants to come forward and discuss CAA." And the anti-CAA protesters at Shaheen Bagh have extended an invitation to Prime Minister Narendra Modi to come and celebrate Valentine's Day with them today. The protesters, who are staging a demonstration since December 15 last year, demanding withdrawal of the contentious Citizenship Amendment Act and a proposed All India National Register of Citizens, will also unveil a love song and a surprise gift for Modi. Posters at the protest site in southeast Delhi and also circulating on social media platforms read, "PM Modi, please come to Shaheen Bagh, collect your gift and talk to us." Whether Prime Minister Modi or Home Minister Amit Shah or anyone else, they can come and talk to us. If they can convince us that whatever is happening is not against the Constitution, we will end this protest, Syed Taseer Ahmed, one of the first protesters at Shaheen Bagh, told PTI. He said according to the government's claims, the CAA was to award citizenship and not to take away someone's citizenship, but nobody explained how is it going to help the country. How is CAA going to help us tackle issues of unemployment, poverty, and economic slowdown, which are the most pressing issues, Ahmed said. The protesters at Shaheen Bagh have pitched a tent on a main road linking Noida to southeast Delhi via the Kalindi Kunj Bridge, which according to an official estimate witnesses movement of around 1.75 lakh vehicles on a daily basis. Ahmed said school buses, ambulances and emergency vehicles were allowed hassle-free movement since the protest started 2 months ago, and the claim that the stir was causing a lot of problems to the common people was exaggerated. "Had it been at the level as it is being portrayed by some people, we would have been evacuated from here long ago. The BJP would have won the Delhi polls and the centre would have removed us. So this claim that the Shaheen Bagh protest is causing major inconvenience is unsubstantiated, he added. According to the CAA, members of Hindu, Sikh, Buddhist, Jain, Parsi and Christian communities who have come to the country from Pakistan, Bangladesh and Afghanistan till December 31, 2014, after being subjected to religious persecution, will not be treated as illegal immigrants but given Indian citizenship. The law excludes Muslims. Those opposing the law contend that it discriminates on the basis of religion and thus violates the constitution. They also allege that the CAA, along with the NRC, is intended to target the Muslim community in India. However, the center has dismissed these allegations while maintaining that the law's intent is to give citizenship to persecuted people from the three neighboring countries and not to take away the citizenship of anyone. India plans to offer around 6,000 acres of land in Kashmir as part of a business summit planned for April or May to help the Himalayan region after withdrawing its special rights and making sweeping administrative changes. The government is offering the land along with tax breaks and insurance cover to draw businesses there, according to Manoj Kumar Dwivedi, the region's Commissioner Secretary in charge of Industry and Commerce. Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government insists that the reorganization in August was essential to spur development in Jammu and Kashmir. The area is one of India's least industrialized regions, with per capita income of 62,145 rupees in 2016-17, lower than the national average of 82,229 rupees, but better than several other states. More than 1,300 acres of the land offered is in the scenic Kashmir Valley, according to an investor presentation reviewed by Reuters. In some conflict-ridden areas, the government would consider providing security and higher insurance cover to comfort investors, Dwivedi said. If we want somebody to come and do business here, taking care of the interest of the businessman is definitely our responsibility, Dwivedi said, adding that the government hoped to create 100,000 new jobs. Land is a sensitive subject in Kashmir, where outsiders were previously prohibited from buying property because of fears that an influx of people could change its demographics. A consultant involved with the planned summit said more than 250 businesses were discussing possible investments. These include investments in cement, education, and tourism sectors, the consultant said, declining to be named since he is not authorized to speak to the media. However, the former finance minister for Jammu and Kashmir, Haseeb Drabu, described the government's plan as absurd because of the prevailing situation in the territory. You need a peaceful environment for investment. Today, it is very volatile, he said. U.S. Attorney General William Barr took a public swipe at President Donald Trump on Thursday, saying that the president's tweets about Justice Department prosecutors and cases make it impossible for me to do my job. Barr made the comment during an interview with ABC News just days after his Justice Department overruled its own prosecutors, who had recommended in a court filing that Trump's longtime ally and confidant Roger Stone be sentenced to 7 to 9 years in prison, and took the extraordinary step of lowering the amount of prison time it would seek. The department didn't offer an amended number. Barr himself has been under fire for the Justice Department action, and Thursday's comment served as a defense of his own integrity. He's a Trump loyalist who shares the president's views on expansive executive powers. The remarks made so quickly after the decision to back away from the sentencing suggested that Barr was aware the reversal had chipped away at the department's historic reputation for independence from political sway, but he stopped short of acknowledging wrongdoing by anyone. There was no immediate response from the White House. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.